Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Last Round Podcast. No Danny Z today, but I managed to grab together two special guests. Today we have the WBA Super Flyweight Champion, Andro, and also his twin brother, Jason Maloney. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us, Michael. Yeah, appreciate it, mate. Good to be on the show.
It's good to get you at last. I've always been trying to set it up with Tony, but I'm in California. You guys are obviously normally in Australia, so due to the time difference.
Yeah, that's right. Time difference, bit of a struggle back home, but we're in Vegas now, so good to talk to you.
How are things back in Australia? You've had obviously a crazy year. You've had the bushfires and then straight after that, the coronavirus. So how is everything back home?
Yeah, it's been pretty full on. As you said, the bushfires were absolutely dreadful, the worst bushfires we've ever had in history. And once we sort of just got over that, I think it had only been a month or two, and then the coronavirus hits and puts a big hold on everything, obviously, which it has not only in Australia but around the world. But Australia seems to be getting on top of coronavirus pretty well at the moment, and hopefully it stays that way and we can all move forward and live our lives like we were.
Obviously, now you're over here, you know, in camp in Las Vegas. So how did Tony manage to sneak you into the country?
He's a genius. Yeah, I don't know. Tony worked very hard along with Top Rank to find a way for us to get over to America, and we were lucky enough that we got an exemption from the Australian government, and the American government allowed us to travel over here. And he told us on the Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock that we got the exemption, pack your bags, and we jumped on the plane the next morning, and here we are.
So how is camp going out in Vegas?
Yeah, it's perfect. We're having a great time over here. We got here already in great condition. We trained all the way through the lockdown. Luckily enough, Andrew and I have a private gym at home, so we're the only two that had access to that gym. So we were still training every single day, even during the whole lockdown period. And even when we got over here, we're ready to go straight away. The day after we arrived, we met with Top Rank and they said, how long do you guys need to get ready? And we said, no, we're good to go. Put us on this weekend. And they couldn't believe it. They said, you guys are the only two blokes in the world that have said that. But we're extremely dedicated and professional with our approach to training and fighting. And we take this very seriously and try and keep ourselves fit and in shape all year round. But since we've got here, we've organised some really good sparring. We've been training at the Top Rank gym, and the weather and the conditions over here have been great for training. And yeah, we're already in perfect shape and could fight tomorrow. But we've got another 3 or 4 weeks for us both just to sharpen right up and get some good sparring. And yeah, by the time we enter the ring, we'll be jumping out of our skin and ready to put on some really, really impressive performances.
So you're actually able to spar other people, not just your brother?
Yeah, we've had a few guys tested, and once they come back, you know, corona free, then we're allowed to spar with those guys in the Top Rank gym.
And what's it going to be like for you guys? Obviously, I've seen that you had quite an extensive amateur career, so fighting in front of no fans. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, I'm not too fussed about fighting in front of no fans, to be honest. Actually, be cool for something different. Something to look back on in, you know, 10, 15 years time and say I fought once with no crowd, no audience. But we also know that it's going to be probably our largest audience in terms of viewers on TV all around the world. Obviously, everyone's been hanging for boxing to be back, and now it is. I'm sure everyone's going to be really excited and everyone's going to be tuning in to watch our fight. So we're just going to make sure we put on a great performance for everyone and show the world what we're all about.
Obviously, as fighters, and obviously you, Andrew, as the WBA champion, what's your view on, you know, there's been no drug testing, you know, the WBC and other, you know, title-holding performances from people coming up. Does it worry you that people may take the chance, obviously stepping up to fight for the title, they may take that risk?
I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest, but I mean, I'd like to think that all my competitors are clean, but in this day and age, maybe they're not. But I believe my hard work, I work that hard in the gym and I've got no problems doing 12 rounds at a really high pace. So they can cheat if they want, but it's not going to help them.
You were also, I was reading, actually did some labouring work because of the big layoff between fights that you and your brother went out there and to get some extra income.
Yeah, well, at one stage when the coronavirus first sort of locked everything down, we were pretty worried. You know, we're both dads. We've both got two young kids at home, and you know, when we're not fighting, we don't earn an income. So we thought, geez, we don't know how long this is going to go on for. We might need to just pick up a little bit of work here and there, and keep a little bit of money coming in to pay the bills and keep a roof over our heads and everything. But we only did maybe 2 weeks, you know, a day here, a day there. And we just thought, nah, look, this period with the lockdown, a lot of people are going to take this, you know, make excuses or we're not training, there's no fights, or take this opportunity to have a break and, you know, do the wrong things and live the life they can't live when they're in fire camp. So we said, nah, stuff this. Let's just keep training every day as if we are fighting, and let's use this, you know, couple of months or however long it's going to be to make sure we improve as much as we possibly can. So we put the work on hold and just thought, let's just keep training, keep working, keep improving. And over that 2 months period, we both made massive, massive improvements, and really thankful that we did that. And now I think we've got a head start on the rest of the competition, and I think with these performances coming up in the next few weeks, people are really going to see that, you know, we did spend that time the right way. We did keep working and stay in the gym, and we'll look, you know, they'll say, look how much these guys are improved, rather than other guys who maybe did the wrong thing. They'll come back and, you know, look terrible in their first few fights, or need tune up fights against easy competition. Well, we're ready to fight the best right now, and, you know, we're really confident that the work we put in over that break is going to put us in good stead, and we'll have two very good wins on June and then keep building and building and hopefully, you know, make a real good name for ourselves and capture a lot of new fans over here in America.
Did you get some stick walking onto the labouring site, two professional boxers coming down?
Nah, not really. Andrew's not much of a trade. So he didn't. Luckily, we were just working, just us two on a really large property, just doing a bit of mate work. So I kept him in line. We had a few laughs. Yeah. He doesn't like getting his hands dirty, Andrew.
So when I was doing some of the background, obviously, into your career, obviously, Jason and I read that you actually lost your first three fights as an amateur, and Andrew actually lost your first seven.
Yep, that's right.
So it must have
been a great start.
You obviously both must have liked it, because obviously, you know, losing seven in a row, you didn't just throw the gloves to the side and walk away.
Yeah. I think losing those fights made me want it even more and made me more hungry. That's what I love about boxing, is the competitiveness of it. And at that time, we were playing football, and, you know, sometimes you'd have a great game and your teammates may not, and you end up losing. I'd rather have it all on me, and I realised that in boxing, that's what it was. And I made the decision to stop playing footy and concentrate 100% on boxing. And once I did that, the results turned around, and I went on a winning streak for about 5 years. After that, I went undefeated in Australia. So I liked that it was all on me, and, you know, the hard work you put in shows in the ring, and, you know, there's no teammates there to stuff it up for you.
How big is boxing in Australia?
Unfortunately, not very big at the moment. We've got a good crop of young fighters coming through, and hopefully it'll start to build. It doesn't get a whole lot of media recognition or much sort of TV time, which is a bit of a shame, but hopefully with us leading the way and a good crop of, you know, real, you know, some good potential coming through in the Aussie ranks. So hopefully with success comes a good, you know, bit of spotlight and a bit of recognition, and we can try and build the sport as much as we can and get it to be, you know, maybe never going to be the major sport, but hopefully we can get it right up in the limelight and start getting some good recognition and plenty of new fans.
So was it hard for you both to get spotted by Top Rank? Was there any other promotions interested?
Yeah, well, I think we had to sort of earn our stripes. We had, you know, we both had sort of, what was it, 2019 or 18 fights before we signed with Top Rank. And we were lucky we had a good local promoter, Hoskin Promotions, who sort of took us as far as he could take us before we were able to be signed by one of the powerhouse promoters like Top Rank. So it was hard. We did have to sort of build our way up fairly slowly, but our manager Tony Tolch did a tremendous job, and every fight we had was tougher and tougher, and really put us in good stead to, you know, pave the, you know, the pathway and get us ready for the big fights. So when we signed to Top Rank, so now we're ready to, you know, throw us in the deep end. We're ready to take on anyone, and we're, you know, just stoked to be with such a, you know, big promotion company like Top Rank, who are just doing an amazing job. And they're really excited to get us on over here. They've got us on June 23 for Andrew, then June 25 for me. So it's going to be like the Maloney week over here on ESPN, Top Rank. And we're training really hard. We're going to put on some good fights and hopefully really impress everyone who's watching.
So, Andrew, you're scheduled to fight Josh Franco, I believe. What do you know about Josh?
Well, we've watched a few of his fights. He had three fights against Jason's opponent, so we've sat down and watched all of those, obviously. And he's a very good fighter. He's very busy. Throws a lot of punches. Good, technically good. Trains under Robert Garcia, so he's a very good fighter. And but got a pretty sort of standard style that I'm comfortable in facing, and I'm confident that I've got what it takes to beat him and move on to bigger and better things.
Did you actually think about sitting out for a little while? Because I read that the WBA president, Gilberto Mendoza, said that you're actually going to be the next opponent for the WBA super flyweight champion, Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez. So do you class it as a bit of a risk to be facing Joshua?
Maybe. The Chocolatito fight is definitely a dream fight for me and something that I'm really excited about. But we didn't know how long all this was going to take with the whole coronavirus issue and things, and I didn't want to be sitting out the ring for too long in the prime of my career. So this is the first chance we had to get back in the ring, and I jumped at it. I don't want to be sitting on the shelf November was my last fight, so it's already been a while. So I was just eager to get back in the ring as soon as possible, and I backed myself to beat Franco, and then we'll look what's next after that. And if it's a Chocolatito fight, then that's excellent.
What's it going to be like stepping in the ring with pretty much a living legend in Chocolatito?
Yeah, it'd be unreal. I've watched him for many, many years. Growing up, I'm a huge fan of the sport, and he's obviously been a legend, especially of the lighter weight divisions over the last 10 years or so. And yeah, it'd be amazing to get the opportunity to share the ring with him. And I'd go into that fight confident that I could win that fight, and winning that fight would be absolutely massive for my career and change my life. So that's something that really excites me.
Are you disappointed that you didn't get to face Calyafai? Because looking at the Roman Chocolatito Calyafai fight, either Chocolatito just was that good on the night, or Calyafai had outgrown that division.
Yeah, I was really disappointed. We chased that Yafai fight for like 3 years, and I did everything I could to try and make that fight, because I was that confident that I would have done the same thing to him that Chocolatito did. And watching that fight would make me think, you know, I was even more confident that's what I would have done. And it's a shame I didn't get the opportunity to do that. But things work out how they work out, and it could end up being better for me now. I might end up fighting Chocolatito, which, as I said, would be a dream come true. So might have been a good way that things planned out.
And Jason, you're obviously facing Oscar Negrete, and he's actually faced your brother's opponent 3 times. So what do you know about Oscar?
Yeah, as Andrew said, we've watched those 3 fights where they fought each other, and I've watched a few of his other fights. And, you know, he's a real tough fighter who puts on a lot of pressure and comes forward and, you know, doesn't give up. Like myself, he's fought for a world title once before and fell short. So I'm sure he's extremely hungry, as I am, to get back to fighting for another world title. And, you know, the winner of our fight will put us in a really, really good position, you know, and hopefully myself, after I beat Oscar, that I'll get a chance to fight for a world title again. So I'm sure he feels the same. I'm, you know, I'm sure he thinks if he can knock me off, I'm obviously rated very, very well with all four of the major sanctioning bodies. So I'm his way to try and get back to the top, and he'll be coming in extremely hungry and wanting to win. But from what I've seen and the way I've been training and the way our preparation's going, I'll be too good for him on the night. But we're really looking forward to the fight.
And after Negrete, are you penciled in to face Joshua Greer? Because you were supposed to fight him on the undercard of Inoue Casimiro. So is that going to be the backup fight?
I think so. I'm not too sure. My goal is to end 2020 as a world champion. I'd obviously like to fight one of the champions as soon as possible. But the division's a bit tied up at the moment with Inoue fighting Casimiro for the unified titles. And then Ubali, he's got a mandatory with Nonito Donaire. So I've basically said to Top Rank that I just want to fight the best fighters available, and I want to earn my shot at one of the champions as soon as possible. So once I get past Negrete, if the Greer fight is there, then yeah, I'd absolutely love that fight. Or if I can go straight to fight one of the champions, then that's even better. So I'll fight whoever I need to fight. And yeah, I just want to become world champion, and whoever I've got to beat to make that happen, then that's what we'll do.
I don't know whether it's good or whether it's bad, but you two are both in some absolutely stacked divisions with some great talent. There's some huge fights, obviously, that you guys can, you know, have coming up. You've got Inoue, like obviously Lomachenko and people like that in and around your weight divisions.
Yeah, well, it's really exciting. You know, the lighter weight divisions are starting to get some good recognition finally, and, you know, there's some great, great matchups to be made, and we're really looking forward to being a part of some of those, you know, epic fights, and hopefully people just love watching what we can do, and hopefully we'll, be involved in some of the mega, mega fights over the next five to 10 years, however long we stay in the sport. And that's why we're working hard. We've got big dreams, and yeah, we're working really hard to achieve them.
You've actually sparred, looking at your Instagram and all your social media, you've actually sparred Lomachenko, Nonito Donaire, Mick Conlon. How was that, you know, sparring with someone like Vasyl Lomachenko?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was, 3 years ago now?
Maybe more.
It was funny, we actually let Robert Garcia's gym, who's the trainer of my opponents, that's a bit funny, but we were sparring with Gradovich, who was IBF featherweight champion at the time, and we both did, I think, 6 rounds with Gradovich at about 3 p.m., and we finished sparring and started cooling down, and his manager, Igis Klimas, came up and said, Lomachenko's sparring at 6 p.m. His sparring partners can't make it. Do you guys want to come back and spar with six? So we're like, yeah, absolutely. Even though we just finished the session, we're like, yeah, for sure. Like, as if you're going to turn down sparring Lomachenko. So we got ourselves a Gatorade and rehydrated and came back to the gym an hour later and sparred with pound for pound one of the best fighters in the world. So that was an unbelievable experience. And we've sparred some really good fighters, but Lomachenko is the best by a mile. He's a freak.
How about Nonito Donaire?
Yeah, he's excellent too. I sparred him last year out here in Vegas, maybe the year before. But yeah, I mean, he's a great fighter, and he showed in his last fight against Inoue that he's still got plenty left in the tank. And I knew that he'd give Inoue a hard fight. I mean, everyone looks at Inoue as if he's invincible, but Nonito's been a great, great fighter for many, many years and won so many world titles in various different divisions. And he showed that, you know, Inoue's beatable, and he did a great job in that fight. And, you know, that just excites me, fighting either one of those guys. Like you said, it's a stacked division, the bantamweight division at the moment, and really, really great matchups that I'd love to be involved in. And the way we're training and the way we're improving each day, I'm confident that I can beat these guys and, you know, make a really, really good legacy for myself and, you know, really make a name for myself and hopefully bring a whole lot of light to boxing in Australia and our names around the world.
And you're on the right side of the street, as they say, because you've actually got quite a few of them at top rank.
Yeah, that's right. We're in a good position. We just need to keep improving, keep training hard, and keep winning. And the future's looking bright and very exciting.
So I was looking at the top rank website before the interview, when it was said, so your hidden talent, Jason, I hear, is you're a certified barista.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I love my coffee, and I'm struggling a bit over here, actually. I can't find much good coffee, so we're drinking dirty water at the moment, it feels like. But, yeah, I love my coffee, and I can whip up a pretty good one when I need to. Yeah.
And Andrew, your hidden talent, I'm sure, is coming pretty useful over these last couple of months. I hear you're a pretty good barber.
Yeah, I'm the best barber in town. This was yesterday's job. I did this one in 20 minutes. I reckon I'm the best barber in town.
Did he tip well?
No, I don't pay well.
Doesn't pay well. And he's not that good at cutting hair either. Mine always looks shocking and his looks good.
I read that you're both good at table tennis and you'd like a match with Terence Crawford.
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently Terence is the number one table tennis player at top rank, and we want to take him on. We play every single day and we're super competitive. So, yeah, we want to take on Terence and take the top rank title.
I read that you actually do it as part of your training routine, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Our coach loves it. It's sort of a warm-up, but it's also, you know, to really sharpen you up and get your reaction time and hand-eye coordination firing. And I believe it works very well. But, yeah, we play each other every day, and some days we end up playing for nearly an hour. We just can't get enough.
I win about 99% of the time.
He's $200 down while we're in Vegas, so he's stealing. But, we play plenty of table tennis. And as Andrew said, when we were at the top rank office, they said, Terence is a really good table tennis player. And we said, we reckon we've got him covered, so tee that up. And we'll play for the top rank title.
I also believe another top ranker, Carl Frampton.
Yeah, I've heard Carl's good.
I've heard that. Yeah, we'll take Carl on too. We'll take on any comers.
As doubles.
Yeah.
Carl and Terence against you two.
Beautiful.
Tee that up.
Another thing, I think Tony actually kind of threw you under the bus. I hear, Andrew, you've got a good story about having some gold teeth.
Yeah. Tony loves it. I think it was 2009. Or maybe, 2009, I think it was. I was in Cuba for a training camp and competitions. Went with the whole Australian team and were there for about 3 months. So we got a bit bored and decided we'd all get some gold teeth before we came home. And for some reason, I had them in for like nearly 2 years. And Tony found out about it maybe 6 months ago and he thinks it's hilarious. So he brings it up as much as he can.
You were actually fighting with them in?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he came home and we saw him and just thought, what are you thinking? You look like a serious. And he left him in for another two or 3 years.
I think I just couldn't be bothered going to the dentist to get him taken out. But after one of my fights, actually, for some reason in the amateurs, especially because you'd weigh in the morning and then fight, I'd always throw up after I fought. And one time I threw up after a fight and one of them fell out. So I had one in for a really long time and one fell out pretty soon.
And you're also both involved in the new esports boxing game that's coming out soon?
Yeah, really looking forward to that being released. As, you know, I think 12, 13-year-olds, we used to sit down and play the EA Sports Fight Night and used to love that game. Probably the only game I've ever really got around. I'm not much of a Xbox or PlayStation player myself, but when the boxing game came out, everyone just loved it. And it's been, you know, nearly 10 years since the boxing game's been out, and everyone's been just crying out for another game. And finally, someone stepped up to produce one, and for us to be involved in it is, it's, you know, really cool and something we're really excited about, you know, even to tell your kids later on in your grandkids that, you know, I was a part of a PlayStation or Xbox game or something like that is, you know, something that's going to be pretty cool and, yeah, something that I'm really looking forward to it when it's released and we can sit down and play with it, you know, compete as ourselves on a video game. And I think it's going to be a great success and something that, yeah, everyone's really going to jump at.
It's going to be interesting if one of you comes out with a higher overall rating than the other.
Yeah, surely I'll be right.
We've got a big fight that's coming up actually in your stable. I'd like to get your review of it. You've got Teofimo Lopez fighting Lomachenko later this year. How do you guys see that?
Yeah, what a fight. Yeah. Big fans of both guys. Lomachenko would have to probably be my favourite, if not second favourite fighter at the moment. And as Andrew said, after sparring him and seeing what it's like being in the ring with him, I struggle to see anyone beating him around the lightweight, super featherweight divisions. He's just an absolute master. And as good as Teofimo is, and I love watching him fight, I'm just not sure that anyone can beat Lomachenko around this weight division. He's just an absolute freak, but certainly a fight that I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, I'm the same. I can't back against Lomachenko. I think he's just too good at that weight. I think the only way he gets beat is if he moves up too far in weight. I think he's probably at his limit at lightweight.
Mm.
But I'm really excited about the fight, though. Teofimo is really good, and most Lomachenko fights I always just think, oh, this is going to be too easy for Loma. But this fight I'm actually really excited about because Teofimo is really good and can punch too, as we saw against Richard Kumi in his last fight. So I'm really excited about it, but I can't back against Lomachenko.
Another one we're probably going to see this year, Ryan Garcia, Jorge Linares.
Yeah, another great fight. Big fans of both of them as well. Been a huge fan of Linares for years. Always loved watching him. But, yeah, that's a really exciting matchup. Obviously, Linares is getting towards the end of his career and Garcia ripe and only just starting to come through and reach his peak. So I don't know whether it's too early for Garcia. It's certainly going to show you a lot about Garcia. If he can beat Linares, and then he's got a massive, massive future ahead of him. But, it's a 50-50, but I'd probably go with Garcia, just for how sharp he is and how fast he is. But it's a fight that could definitely go either way.
I'm going to go with Linares. I think he can definitely go either way. Like, Garcia might be too sharp for him, but I think Linares, if he fights how he has against like Campbell and Lomachenko, I think he's too much for Garcia at this stage. So I hope that Golden Boy let Garcia have that fight now, because it'd be really interesting now to see where Ryan Garcia is at. But if they let it hang on too long, I think it loses its interest. So hopefully they get it on this year, and I think Linares just wins.
A fight we may see this year, but I would imagine next year, a battle of the heavyweights, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua.
Tyson Fury, yeah, it's too good.
Yeah, Tyson Fury for me.
Love AJ and the way he goes about everything, but just Tyson Fury beats any heavyweight on the planet at the moment. And, love the guy. Love what he does inside and outside of the ring. But, he's far too good, I think, for AJ.
Yeah, I would agree. I think too skillful. He's just the full package. You don't get many heavyweights that move like Tyson does.
No, that's right.
There's
not much competition for him at the moment, I think, as we saw what he'd done to Wilder. And if there's a rematch there again, I think he does it even easier. And then, I think his style's all wrong for AJ. So I don't see anyone beating Fury for a while.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I think that, just his movement, he can do different styles, like we saw like in the first Wilder fight, and then he completely came back in the second Wilder fight and put it on him. So he's just a master boxer, like he calls himself. He can just do different styles. You can't pin him down.
Yeah. I thought he was bluffing when he said in the second fight he was going to put it on Wilder and try and knock him out, but he did that, and, unbelievable performance in that second fight. That was amazing.
So obviously in the next, couple of weeks, you guys are going to get your first fight in Las Vegas. Do you have many things on a bucket list that you'd like to complete whilst you're a professional boxer?
Yeah, fighting at the MGM in Las Vegas is definitely one of them. That's an absolute dream come true, and something we're really, really excited about. obviously on my bucket list is also number one, becoming world champion. But yeah, to fight at those iconic venues like the MGM or Mandalay Bay or Madison Square Garden, those sort of things, you know, those sort of iconic venues, definitely on the bucket list. And, you know, for us to win world titles and bring some mega fights down to Australia as well, and, you know, sell out a big stadium down there and bring some real top class boxing down back to Australia is something that we're really passionate about doing as well. So yeah, as I said, some big goals that we want to achieve, and working really hard to make them happen.
Like Jeff Horn did when he brought Pacquiao over.
100%. Yeah, right. We were both there that day at Suncorp Stadium when he beat Manny Pacquiao, and you know, it was just an absolutely amazing day and one of the best sporting moments in our history. So if we can do something similar, you know, that's something that we really, really want to achieve. And as I said, we're willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
Maybe we can bring Chocolatito out to Australia, sell out a big stadium.
Bring Nui and Chocolatito to Australia.
Yeah. Double header.
I mean, I'd like them both to be in California so I can attend. So, you know, I'm kind of biased in that way.
Come to Australia, mate. You'll love it.
What, you know, obviously coming up over the last few years, what do you think about social media in boxing? Because look at someone like Ryan Garcia and Dave Allen in Britain. You know, because of their social media reach, they managed to get these big, big fights that necessarily their talent didn't reach. You know, Ryan Garcia at the minute probably hasn't got the talent that his paydays are giving him. So, you know, being a boxer now, how do you look at that? Is that something that your management team focus on for you?
It's not something we really focus on. Like, I mean, we like to interact with our fans and keep people updated on our careers on social media, but it's not something that we sort of really go out trying to do to, I would say. Like Ryan Garcia and Dave Allen, you mentioned, done an amazing job. And I remember watching one of Ryan Garcia's fights and his stats came up and the first stat was like 1 million plus Instagram followers. I was like, what? How is that a stat? But you're right. I mean, it's given them a much bigger platform and bigger paydays than they would have had without it. So it definitely is important these days. Yeah, I mean, we try and, you know, keep up to date on social media and keep our fans up to date with what we're doing in our careers. So I think it's definitely important, something we probably need to get a bit better at, to be honest.
Have you any thoughts? I'm not trying to retire you, but have you any thoughts of after boxing?
Nah, nothing. No plan Bs.
Nah. Would something like coaching or managing, is that something you'd be interested in?
At the moment, no, it's not something I even give a thought to be honest. So just, yeah, all our eggs are in one basket at the moment. We just want to win world titles and hold on to them and defend them for many, many years and have, you know, the most successful careers that we can possibly have and be the best that we can be. And whatever happens after boxing will happen. But, yeah, at the moment, I really don't put any thought into what I'm going to do after boxing. Just so focused and determined on having as much success as I possibly can.
Would you like to fight over in Britain?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Absolutely love to. I've never been to the UK, and as you see with the shows you guys put on and packed out Wembley Stadium and things like that, you know, boxing just massive over there, and I'd absolutely love to fight over in the UK. Yeah, that'd be an absolute dream come true for sure.
It's funny that you mentioned Wembley there, because we got, I think it's the 6-year anniversary of Karl Froch, George Groves too.
Yeah, I saw that today. It's all over my social media.
Yeah.
The 80,000 fans at Wembley that Karl Froch never mentions.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was 80,000 or not.
But when Andrew won the goal in Glasgow, the Scottish guys got right behind Andrew, and They probably celebrated his victory more than a lot of guys did in Australia. And it's just, you know, a shame that, as we said earlier, like, boxing's just really not that big in Australia, and it's a real shame. We wish more people would get around the sport and celebrate our success. So, you know, hopefully with us being successful over the next few years, we can bring that light to Australia. But if we can get over to the UK or you know, establish a really big fan base here as well in the US, then yeah, that's something that really excites us.
You know, Tyson Fury did it. He came over here, did a lot of fights and, you know, tried to establish himself and came out with a Mexican hat on and stuff like that. So is that something you're going to do, try and bring the crowds in?
I don't think I'll wear the Mexican hat, but yeah, definitely we want to put on, you know, really impressive performances. Like I said, it's sort of going to be the Maloney week over here. So there'll be a lot of new eyes on us that probably haven't seen us before. So we just want to put on the most impressive fights we possibly can, come out on top and, you know, really get some new fans and hopefully get a lot of people behind us.
All right then, guys, I don't want to steal too much time off you, you know, during camp. If you want to plug your social media, your Instagrams, your Twitters, the floor's all yours.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us on today, mate. We really appreciate it and appreciate anyone who follows our careers and supports us. So if you can follow us on social media, I'm just at Andrew Maloney, Maloney spelled M-O-L-O-N-E-Y, and I'm at Andrew Maloney across all channels, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
And, yeah, pretty well the same for me. I'm just at Jason Maloney on Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm at Jason Maloney 1. I've got a website, teammaloney.com. So if everyone wants to follow our journeys, we really appreciate it. We love all the support and look forward to bringing you some exciting fights at the end of the month.
June, you said the 23rd and the 25th?
Yeah, 23rd and 25th. So, and they, yeah, less, you know, 3.5 weeks away now, so cannot wait.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for joining us today, and you can find us at The Last Round 12 on Instagram and Twitter. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round 12.